NBC Star Playhouse. NBC presents many of the most eminent actors of our time in the NBC Star Playhouse. Here is our host, John Chapman, drama critic of the New York Daily News, to introduce this week's star and play. Mr. Chapman,
thank you. Some of us, not all of us, fortunately, can remember those good old days when there weren't any taxes worth complaining about and the movies couldn't talk. Out of those good old days there came, 3 or 4 years ago, a prize-winning motion picture titled Sunset Boulevard. And this is our play for this performance. Sunset Boulevard is a real boulevard, beginning in the city of Los Angeles and meandering most grandly from movie colony to movie colony until it reaches the Pacific Ocean and gets lost. It could be called the Boulevard from Here to Nowhere. Charlie Brackett, Billy Wilder, and D.M. Marchman Jr. kept this in mind when they were writing the picture they named after a street. Their heroine is the movie queen of the silent days. For their film, Sunset Boulevard, Brackett and Wilder brought from retirement a genuine celebrity of the silent screen, Gloria Swanson. For our performance of this comedy, we have engaged a lady of the silent screen who is perhaps even more celebrated, Leatrice Joy. Whoever saw her can forget Miss Joy as the star of such monumental films as Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. Co-starred with her in this performance as a smart young writer is Jeffrey Lynn, who has had a notable career on the stage and on the screen.
This is Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. About 5 o'clock in the morning. That's the homicide squad coming down toward the 10,000 block. A murder has been reported. You'll read about it in the late edition. Before you hear it all distorted and grown out of proportion, maybe you'd like to have the real story. So, you come to the right part. I'm floating in a pool. Nothing important, really. Nobody important, just a movie writer with a couple of B pictures to his credit. Started 6 months ago. I was living in an apartment above Franklin and Ivar. Things were tough. Hadn't worked in a studio for a long time, so I sat grinding out original stories 2 a week. Only maybe they weren't original enough. All I know is they didn't sell.
All right, all right. Mrs. C. Gillis?
That's right.
We've come for the car.
Car?
What car? 1946 Plymouth convertible, California license, 40R116. Where's the keys?
Why should I give you the keys?
Because you're 3 payments behind and we got a court order. You want us to jack it up and haul it away?
It isn't here. I loaned it to a friend of mine. He took it to Palm Springs.
Yes. Look, Gillis, that car better be back here by noon tomorrow, or there's going to be fireworks.
I was way ahead of the finance company. I knew they'd be coming around, so I wasn't taking any chances. I kept the car across the street behind Rudy's shoeshine parlor. I got in and wheeled it over to Paramount, where I had an original story kicking around. My agent told me it was dead as a doornail. But I knew a big shot over there. Named Sheldrake. He's a smart producer with a set of ulcers to prove it.
All right, Gillis, you got 5 minutes. What's your story about?
It's about a baseball player, a rookie shortstop. The poor kid was once mixed up in a holdup, but he's trying to go straight.
So the gamblers tell him he's going to throw the World Series or else.
More or less. But at the end, I've got a good gimmick.
I called Reader's Department. They're sending somebody up with a synopsis. What's the title?
Faces Loaded. They were pretty hot about it over 20th, except I think Zanuck's all wet. Can you see Ty Power as the shortstop? Now, Alan Ladd.
Hello, Mr. Childress.
Hello.
On that Faces Loaded, I covered it with a 2-page synopsis.
Thank you.
I wouldn't bother.
What's wrong with it?
It's from hunger.
Nothing?
It's just a rehash of something that wasn't very good to begin with.
I'm sure you will be glad to meet Mr. Gillis.
He wrote it.
Oh.
This is Miss Schaefer.
And how do you do?
If I could be of any help.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Gillis, but I just didn't think it was any good. I found it flat and trite.
Exactly what kind of material do you recommend? James Joyce, Dostoevsky?
I just think the picture should say a little something.
Oh, one of the message kids. Just a story won't do. You'd have turned down Gone with the Wind.
No, that was me. I said, who wants to see Civil War pictures?
Well, maybe the reason I hated Basic Lotus was that I'd heard your name, but always knew you had some talent.
That was last year. This year, I'm trying to earn a living.
That'll be all, Miss Schaefer.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Gillis.
Next time, I'll write you The Naked and the Dead.
Well, looks like Zamek got himself a baseball picture.
I had to dig up $300 fast, so I got out 10 dimes and started sending out an SOS. I couldn't get hold of my agent, naturally. Talked to a couple of yes men out at Metro. To me, they said no. Well, I drove out along Sunset Boulevard and added things up. Time had come to wrap up the whole Hollywood deal and go home. Maybe if I hawked all my junk, there'd be enough to buy a bus ticket back to Ohio. Back to that $35 a week job behind the copy desk of the Dayton Evening Post. If it was still open.
Hey, Gillis! Gillis!
Finance company. Slammed the gas down the floorboard and took off. Finance man made a U-turn, came after me. I was turning off Sunset somewhere, but before I could figure out where, my left front tire decided for me. I landed myself in the driveway of some big mansion that looked run down and deserted. The end of the drive was a big empty garage, just the place to stash away a limping car with a hot license number. My plumbers were soon nestled against a dust-covered automobile up on blocks. Foreign car. His daughter, Fortuny, had a 1932 license. I figured that was when the owner had moved out.
You there! Why are you so late?
Huh?
Why have you kept me waiting so long?
In here.
Who? I just put my car in the garage. I thought maybe...
Go on in.
Maybe I better take my car and go
on. Wipe your feet and go in.
What?
You are not properly dressed for the occasion.
What's the occasion?
Having to hop, Mark.
Up the stairs.
Suppose you listen to me for just a minute.
Madame is waiting.
For me?
Okay. If you need any help with the coffin, call me.
Coffin?
This way. In here. I put him on the table. In front of the fire. He always liked fires. I made up my mind we'd bury him in the garden. He's here.
A monkey?
I want the coffin to be especially lined with white. A deep pink. Maybe red. White, flaming red. Let's make it gay. How much will it be? I warn you. Don't give me any fancy price just because I'm rich.
Lady, you've got the wrong man. I had some trouble with my car. A flat tire. I thought this was an empty house.
Get out.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you lost your friend. Wait a minute. Haven't I seen your face before? I know your face.
Get out. Or shall I call my servant?
You're Norma Desmond. You used to be in silent pictures. You used to be big.
I am big. It's the pictures that are small.
I knew there was something wrong with them.
And they're dead. They're finished. They open their big mouths and out came crack, crack, crack.
That's where the popcorn comes in. You buy yourself a bag and block up your ears.
Look at them in the front offices. The masterminds. They took the idols and smashed them. The paradise. The Gilbert, the Valentino.
Don't blame me. I'm not an executive, just a writer.
A writer. Words, words, more words. Well, you've made a rope of words and wrangled this business. But there's a microphone right there to catch the last gurgle and photograph the red, swollen tongue.
Wake up the monkey.
Get out. Max,
Next time I'll bring my autograph album along, or maybe a hunk of cement and ask you for your footprint.
Yes, madame.
Okay, okay, I'm going.
Oh, just a minute. You're a writer, you said?
That's what it says on my guild card.
And you have written pictures, haven't you?
Sure have. Want a list of my credits?
I want to ask you something.
Last one I wrote was about Okies in the Dust Bowl. You'd never know, though, because when it reached the screen, the whole thing played on a torpedo boat. What's that?
Oh, the pipe organ in the living room. The wind blows through it. I ought to have it taken out.
Oh, it keeps it a better tune.
Young man, how long is the movie script these days? I mean, how many pages?
Depends on what it is. Donald Duck or Joan of Arc.
This is a very important picture. I wrote it myself. It took many, many years. Here.
Oh, that's enough for six important pictures.
It's a story of Salome.
Didn't Rita Hayworth fiddle around with that one?
That was a fairy tale, a child's bedtime story. It isn't the way I'd play it. I wonder if DeMille could direct it.
DeMille? I didn't know you were planning a comeback.
I hate that word. It's a return. A return to the million of people who have never forgiven me for deserting the stream.
Fair enough. They love you in Pomona.
They love me every place. Read the scene just before she has him killed.
Never let another writer read your material. He'll steal it.
I'm not afraid. Mike, bring something to drink. Sit down. Is there enough light?
I've got 20/20 vision.
I said, sit down.
Well, I had no pressing engagement, except with those boys from the finance company. And she'd mentioned something to drink. Sometimes it is interesting to see just how bad writing can be. This promised to go the limit. Max wheeled in some champagne and caviar. It's her. She sat curled up like a watch spring. She sent those eyes on me from behind the dark glasses, defying me not to like what I read. Sure was a cozy setup. A bundle of nerves. Max, my dead monkey by the fireplace. With a wind wheezing through the organ. At the 11, I was feeling a little sick to my stomach from that champagne and that pipe I'd been reading.
Well?
This is fascinating.
Huh. Of course it is.
Maybe it's a little too long. Maybe there's some repetitions. But then you're not a professional writer.
I wrote this with my heart.
Sure you did. That's what makes it great. What it needs is maybe a little more dialogue.
What for? I can say anything I want with my eyes.
Well, yeah, certainly could use a pair of shears and a blue pencil, though.
I'll not have it twisted.
Of course not. But it ought to be organized. Just an editing job, you know. You can find somebody.
Who? I have to have somebody I could trust.
I don't know.
I like you, young man. I want you to do the rest.
Me? Well, I'm busy. I just finished the script, and I'm due on another assignment.
I don't care.
You know, I'm pretty expensive. I get $500 a week.
Well, if it's money, I'll make it worth your while.
Maybe I'd better take the rest of the script home and read it.
Oh, no. I couldn't let it out of the house. You will have to finish it here.
Hmm. Getting kind of late.
Are you married, Mr.?
The name's Gillis. Single.
Oh. Where do you live?
Hollywood. The Alto Nido apartment. Look, I'll come back early tomorrow.
Well, nonsense. Max.
Yes, madame.
There's a room over the garage. Max will take you there.
I felt kind of pleased with the way I'd handled the situation. Now my car'd be safe in the garage, while I did a patch-up job on the strip. Max led me back through the hand-carved living room, through the patio, and up over the garage.
This room hasn't been used for a long time.
Well, it'll never make house beautiful, but I guess it's okay for one night.
I made your bed this afternoon.
Thanks. Hey, how did you know I was going to stay this afternoon?
The bathroom is over there. I put in some towels, soap, and a toothbrush.
Hey, he's quite a character, that Norma Desmond.
She was the greatest of them all. You wouldn't know. You are too young. In 1 week, she received 17,000 fan letters. Men bribed her hairdresser to get a lock of her hair. There was a Maharaja who came all the way from India to beg one of her silk stockings. Later, he strangled himself with it.
Well, I sure turned into an interesting driveway.
You did, sir. Good night, sir.
I pegged him as slightly cuckoo, too. Stroke, maybe. Come to think of it, the whole place seemed to have been stricken with a kind of creeping paralysis. Kind of out of beat with the rest of the world. Crumbling apart in slow motion. There was a tennis court, overgrown with weeds, and a pool. An empty pool. The wind blew dead leaves across the concrete where Mabel Normand and Valentino and Rod LaRock must have swam 10,000 midnights ago. In the morning, I found all my books, my typewriter, and my clothes neatly arranged in the room. I found Max in the living room playing the organ.
Hey. Hey, you, Max.
Max, I'm talking to you. My clothes and things are up in the room.
Naturally. I thought to myself, what's the matter? Is there anything missing?
Who said you could? Who asked you?
I did. I don't know why you should be so upset.
Seemed like a good idea. We had to work together.
Look, I'm supposed to fix up your script. There's nothing in the deal about my staying here.
You'll like it here.
Thanks for the invitation, but I've got my own apartment.
You can't work in an apartment where you owe 3 months' rent.
I'll take care of that.
It's all taken care of. Max, unpack Mr. Gillis' things.
It is done, madame.
Well, pack them up again. I didn't say I was staying.
Suppose you make up your mind. Do you want this job or don't you?
I wanted the job. I wanted the dough. So I stayed. Went to work on the script. After a couple of weeks, the bloodhound from the finance company found my car in the garage, jacked it up, and hauled it away. So Max got the Assalto Foschini down off its block and polished it up. It was all handmade. Cost $28,000. The upholstery was leopard skin. Some real leopards. He used to take me for rides in the hills above sunset. Then after a while, she got tired of my sports jacket and my baggy pants. So she took me in to get some clothes.
Oh, that's beautiful. There's nothing like blue flannel for men. Now you need a top coat. Let me see what you have in camel hair.
Yes, madame.
Now, you have about evening clothes. Tails.
Tails, oh, that's ridiculous.
You'll need them for parties. You'll need them for New Year's Eve. Are the evening clothes this way?
Yes, madame. Here are some camel's hair, sir, but I'd like you to feel this one. It's vicuna. But, of course, it's a little more expensive.
The camel's hair will do.
If you'll just step over here, sir.
As long as the lady's paying for it, why not take the vicuna? Last week in December, the rain came right through the roof of my room above the garage. But she and Max moved me into the main house.
Here you are, sir.
Whose room was this?
It was the room of the husband, or the husbands, I should say. Madame has been married 3 times.
Say, what's this with the door? There isn't any lock.
There are no locks anywhere in this house, sir.
How come?
The doctor suggested it.
What doctor?
Madame, doctor. Madame has moments of melancholy. There have been some attempts at suicide.
Oh?
We have to be very careful. No sleeping pills, no razor blades. We shut off the gas in Madame's bedroom.
Why?
her career. She's got enough out of it. She's not forgotten. She still gets those fan letters.
I wouldn't look too closely at the postmark. Max, you send them.
Is that it?
I'd better press your evening clothes, sir. Mr. Gillis hasn't forgotten Madame's New Year's Eve party.
Divine. Straight around.
Please.
Oh, come on. Perfect. Wonderful shoulders.
It's all padding. Don't let it fool you.
I don't like the studs they sent. I want you to have pearls. Big, luscious pearls.
Well, I'm not going to wear earrings, I can tell you that.
Ah, let's have a drink.
Shouldn't we wait for the others?
Sometimes.
Careful. The floor is slippery. I had it right. Here's to us. You know, this floor used to be wood, but I had it changed. Valentina said there's nothing like tile for a tango. Come on.
Not on the same floor with Valentino.
Just follow me.
Quarter past ten. What time were they supposed to get here?
Who?
The other guest.
There are no other guests. We don't want to share this night with other people. This night is just for you and me.
Oh.
Hold me tight. Oh, what a wonderful next year it's going to be. What fun we'll have. And when our picture is finished, I'll buy a boat and we'll sail away to Hawaii.
Stop. You're not going to buy me anything more.
Don't be silly. Here. I was going to give it to you at midnight. It's gold.
No, thanks. I keep my cigarettes in a package. They stay precious. Norma, I can't paint it. You bought me enough.
Oh, shut up. I'm rich. I'm richer than all this new Hollywood trash. I've got $1 million.
Keep it.
But before but to buy us anything we want.
Cut out that us business.
Oh, Joe. What's the matter with you?
What right do you have to take me for granted?
What right? You want me to tell you?
Has it ever occurred to you that I may have a life of my own? There might be some girl I'm crazy about?
Some car hop or that's extra?
What I'm trying to say is that I'm all wrong for you. You want a Valentino, somebody with polo ponies, a big shot.
What you're trying to say is you don't want me to love you. Say it. Say it.
Up the stairs, Leslie standing in the middle of Valentino's tile floor. Boys in the band went on playing without missing a beat. Max was very busy polishing the champagne glasses. I picked up my overcoat, the Vicuna, and headed out. Didn't know where I was going. I just had to be with people my own age. I had to hear people laugh again. I thought about it green. It was bound to be a New Year's shindig going on at the apartment. Writers without a job. Actresses so young they still believe the guys in the casting office.
Well, well, what do you know? Joe Gillis.
Hi, Artie.
Oh, well, you've been keeping that gorgeous face of yours, huh?
Deep freeze.
I almost reported you to the Bureau of Missing Persons.
Huh?
Hey, fans, you all know Joe Gillis, the well-known screenwriter, uranium smuggler, and black dahlia suspect. Now, come on, Joe, give me your coat.
Say, what is this, me? You ate three.
Who did you borrow that from? Adolf Manju?
Close, but no cigar. Where's the bar?
Yeah, well, come on, follow me.
It's a good party.
Ah, the greatest. They call me the Elsa Maxwell of the assistant directors. Hey, wait a minute, everybody. Go easy on that punch bowl. Budget only calls for 3 drinks per extra. Fake the rest.
Hey, Artie. Can I stick around here for a while?
Oh, sure. This will go on all night.
No, I mean, can you put me up for a couple of weeks?
Why, it just so happens we have a vacancy on the couch.
I'll take it.
All right. Oh, pardon me. I have to get rid of a spare ice cube. Do I send cold chills down your spine?
Hello, Mr. Gillis.
Hello.
Do you know each other?
Well...
Let me help you. Betty Schaefer is Sheldrake's office.
Oh, sure. Base is loaded.
Now, wait a minute. This is the woman I love. What's going on? Who is loaded?
Don't worry. She's just a fan for my literary output.
Hurt feelings department.
Say, I'd better call about my luggage. Where's the phone?
No, over by the Rainbow Room.
Thanks.
Hey, Tony, you old 7 o'clock reactor, you.
Looks like the phone's busy.
I'll wait.
You know, I've been hoping to run into you.
What for? To recover that knife you stuck in my back?
No. I felt a little guilty, so I got out some of your old stories.
Oh, you sweet kid.
There's one called, Window. Something with a window.
Dark Windows.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like it?
Well, I didn't.
Thanks.
Except for about 6 pages. You've got a flash back there that... Is there someplace we can talk?
Mm-hmm. How about the Rainbow Room?
Okay. Well, now, the scene I wanted to tell you about, it was the flashback scene in the courtroom when she tells about being a school teacher.
Yeah? Sit down in the tub.
Okay.
No, I had a teacher like that once.
Oh, really? Well, maybe that's why it's so good. It was true. It was moving. Now, why don't you use that character?
Who wants true? Who wants moving?
Oh, I dropped that attitude. Here's something really worthwhile.
Want me to start right away? Might I could find some paper.
Come on, I'm serious. I've got a few ideas.
And I've got a few ideas of my own. One of them being, this is New Year's Eve. How about living it up a little?
As for instance, we could make some paper boats and have a regatta. Or we could turn on the shower full blast.
How about capturing the kitchen and barricading the door?
You hungry?
Hungry? After 12 years in the Burmese jungle, I'm starving, Lady Agatha. Starving for a tender shoulder.
Oh, Philip, you're mad.
The
oh, no, Philip, no. We must be strong. You're still wearing the uniform of the Coldstream Guard. Furthermore, the phone's loose.
Okay. Suddenly, I find myself terribly afraid of losing you.
You will. I'll get us a ring.
Ah, life can be beautiful.
You better take the phone in the closet, Joe. You won't hear a thing.
Thanks. Hello? Hello, Max. This is Mr. Gillis. Why don't you do me a favor?
I'm sorry, Mr.
Gillis.
I cannot talk now.
Oh, yes, you can. I want you to get my old suitcase and put in all my old clothes, the ones I came with, and my typewriter. I'll have somebody pick them up.
I have no time to do anything now. The doctor is here.
What doctor? What's going on?
Madame got the razor from your room. Cut the wrist.
What? Max. Max!
Oh, here you are in the closet. Going through the pockets shouldn't be a total loss.
Excuse me.
I want to do it. Hey, Joe, what do you think of the... Hey, Joe, what's the matter?
Max, how are you?
He's up in her room.
Be careful. The doctor just left.
Crazy.
Go away.
What kind of a silly thing was that to do?
To fall in love with you. That was the idiotic thing.
Sure would have made attractive headlines. Big star kills herself for unknown writer.
Great stars have great price. Go away. You're that girl of yours.
Look, I was making that up. Because I thought the whole thing was a mistake.
Ah.
Didn't want to hurt you. You've been good to me. You're the only person in this stinking town that has been good to me.
Then why don't you just say thank you? No.
Not until you promise to act like a sensible human being.
I'll do it again. I'll do it again.
Norma. Norma. Happy New Year, Norma.
Happy New Year. No.
I think I'm a complete swine. If there's anything in dark windows you can use...
Have a chair.
I mean it. No good to me anyway. Happy day.
Look, I'm just not good enough to do it all by myself.
What about all those ideas you had?
Well, to begin with, I think you should throw out all that psychological mess. Exploring a killer's sick mind.
Psychopaths smell like hotcakes.
Look, if you don't mind, I haven't got time to listen to the whole plot.
But I'll make it short.
I'm sorry, it's your baby
couldn't
now.
Work in the evening, 6 o'clock in the morning, I don't care. If next month I'm at your disposal, Audie's out of town.
What's Audie got to do with
We're
it?
We're engaged.
Oh? Oh, well, good for you. Couldn't find a nicer guy.
They're on location in Arizona making a western. I'm free every week.
Look, Billy, it's not begun. It's out. Now, stop being chicken-hearted and write that story. Excuse me.
Sonny, for goodness, I hate you.
And don't make it too dreary.
I'm going to heave this typewriter up.
So long.
Ooh.
Just get it. What's the matter, Matt? I thought out the reason for all those telephone calls from Paramount. And you know?
It is not Madame they want. It's her car. They want to rent it.
What? They need any sort of proceedings for the Crosby picture for a comedy sequence. They want to rent it for a couple of weeks. Does she know?
I don't know. She's been talking to DeMille on the set.
You think he had the guts to tell her?
Goodbye, Susie. Goodbye. Everything will be fine. The old team's together again. Goodbye, Molly. Max,
we can go home now.
Yes, madame.
How'd it go?
Couldn't have gone better. It's practically set.
DeMille told you that?
Well, of course, he has to finish this picture first. But mine will be his next.
He didn't have the guts.
What, darling?
Nothing. Nothing. DeMille must have called the property man off the Estado for a skinny deal because they didn't call up after that. Rosie thought she'd forget the script. But she didn't. An army of beauty experts invaded the house on Sunset Boulevard. She went through a merciless series of treatments. She was absolutely determined to be ready. Ready for those cameras that would never turn.
Go, darling, are you there?
Yes, Oma.
No, don't turn around. I just came to say goodnight. I don't want you to see me. I'm not very attractive.
Good night.
You went out last night, didn't you, Joe?
Why do you say that?
I had a nightmare. I screamed for you. Where were you?
I went for a walk.
No, you didn't. You took the car.
All right, I drove to the beach.
No, Ma, you don't want me to feel that I'm locked up in this house.
Well, of course not, Joe, but it's just that I don't want to be left alone. Not when I'm under this terrible strain.
No, Ma, I haven't done anything.
Well, of course you haven't. I wouldn't let you. Good night.
Yes, I was playing hooky every evening. A story of mine, Betty Schaefer dug up, kept going through my head like a dozen motors. So we started working on it, the two of us. When the studio was deserted, up in her little cubbyhole of an office. Sometimes when we got stuck, we'd take a walk through the set they were getting ready for the next day's shooting. She was on one of those walks when she first told me about her nose.
I come from a picture family, so naturally they expected me to become a great star.
Yeah.
They got as far as the screen test.
Well, what happened?
Well, they didn't like my nose.
Oh?
It flattered this way a little, so I went to a doctor and had it fixed. They made more tests, and they were crazy about my nose, but, they didn't like my accent.
Huh. Nice job.
No, it should be. It cost me $300.
That's the saddest thing I ever heard. I will now kiss that $300 nose of yours. May I say that you smell real special?
It's not my new shampoo.
That's no shampoo. More like freshly laundered handkerchief. Like a brand new automobile. How old are you anyway?
22.
Smart girl. Nothing like being 22. And may I suggest that if we're ever to finish this story, you stay at least 2 feet away from me? Now, back to the typewriter. What is it, Max? Isn't it a little late in the evening to wash the car?
You must be very careful. If you cross the patio, Madame may be watching.
You want me to go up the kitchen stairs, undress in the dark?
I am not inquiring for Mr. Giddes' goals every night.
Why don't you? I'm writing a script.
and I'm going to finish it no matter what.
It's just that I'm greatly worried about Madame.
Sure you are. We're not helping her any, feeding her lies and more lies, getting herself ready for a picture. What happens when she finds out?
She never will. It's my job. It has been for a long time. You must understand, I discovered her when she was 18. I made her a star. I cannot let her be destroyed.
You made her a star?
Yes. I directed all her early films. There were three young directors who showed promise in those days. G.W. Griffith, Cecil B. DeMille, and Max von Meilen.
She's turned you into a servant.
It was I who came back, humiliating as it may seem. I could have continued my career, only I found everything unendurable after she left me. You see, I was her first husband.
Betty, what's the matter? Why are you staring at me like that?
Oh, Walter, I'm sorry.
What's wrong with you today? What is it?
Oh, something came up. I don't want to talk about it.
Why not?
Just don't.
What have you heard? Come on, let's have it. Is it about me? Betty, there's no use running out on it. Come on, let's face it.
I got a telegram from Artie.
From Artie? What's wrong?
He wants me to come on to Arizona. Says it only costs $2 to get married there. The time it saves us a honeymoon.
Well, why don't you? We can finish the script by Thursday. Stop crying, won't you? Getting married, that's what you wanted.
I don't want it now.
Why not? What, don't you love Artie?
Of course I love him, and I always will. I'm not in love with him anymore, that's all.
What happened?
You did.
She was a fool not to sense that there was something phony in my setup. But I was a heel not to have told her. Maybe I could get away with it. Get away from Norma. Maybe I could wipe the whole nasty mess right out of my life. As I sneaked down the hall to my room, I stopped outside of Norma's door. It was partly open.
I'm trying to do you a favor. I'm trying to spare you a great deal of misery. Of course, you may be too young to even suspect that he's a man of that sort. I don't know what he's told you, but he doesn't live with relatives, nor does he live with friends in the usual sense of the word. Well, ask him. Ask him again.
Get me that phone. That's right, Betty. Ask me again. This is Joe. Oh, better yet, why don't you come out and see for yourself? The address is 10,086 Sunset Boulevard.
Don't hate me, Joe. I did it because I need you. I need you as I never needed you before. Look at me. Look at my hands, my face. Look at my eyes. I'm old. How can I go back to work if I'm wasting and under this miserable torment? You don't know what I've been through this last week. I bought myself a revolver. I did. I stood in front of that mirror, but I couldn't make myself do it. Don't stand there hating me. Shout at me, strike me, but don't hate me. Baby, you don't hate me.
It. Hello, Betty.
Hello, Joe. I don't know why, but I'm scared. Is it something awful?
Come on in. Careful of those tiles. They're slippery. Valentino used to dance here.
This is where you live? Well, whose house is it?
Just look around. There's a lot of her spread around on every wall. If you don't remember the face, you may know the name. Norma Desmond.
That was Norma Desmond on the phone? Why did she call me?
Jealous. She had this feeling brought from Portugal.
What about Norma Desmond?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. There are 8 master bedrooms upstairs, a sunken tub in every bathroom. There's a bowling alley in the cellar. Lonely here, so she's got herself a companion. Very simple setup. An older woman who's well-to-do, a younger man who's not doing too well. Can you figure it out for yourself?
No. Look, get your things together and let's get out of here.
All my things? All my 18 suits? All my custom-made shoes and the 6 dozen shirts and the platinum keychains and the cigarette cases?
Joe, come on.
Come on where? Back to a one-room apartment I can't pay for.
If you love me.
Look, will you be practical? I've got a deal here. A long-term contract with no options. I like it that way. Maybe it's not very admirable. Well, you and Artie can be admirable.
No, I can't look at you anymore.
The door's right this way. Good luck to you, Betty. You can finish that script on the way to Argentina. Arizona, wherever you're going. When you and Artie get back, if the two of you ever feel like taking a swim, there's the pool.
Good job.
Thank you, darling. Thank you, Joe. Joe. Joe, darling. Joe, you can't go. I can't face life without you. You know I'm not afraid to die.
That's between you and yourself.
You think I made that up about the gun, don't you? All right. See, you didn't believe me. Now I suppose you think I haven't the courage.
Oh, sure, if you think it'll make a good scene.
You don't care, do you? Well, hundreds of thousands of people will care.
Oh, wake up, Norma. You'd be killing yourself to an empty house. The audience left 20 years ago, and I'll face it.
It's a lie. They still want
it. No, they don't.
What about the studios? What about DeMille?
The studio only wanted to rent your car. DeMille didn't have the guts to tell you. None of us has had the guts.
That's a lie. They want me. I get letters every day.
Come on in, Max. Tell her there isn't going to be any picture. There aren't any fan letters except for the ones you write.
Madame, the greatest star of them all. They will take Mr. Gillis's bags to the car.
You heard him? I'm a star.
Norma, you're a woman of 50. Now grow up. There's nothing tragic about being 50. Not unless you try to be 25.
I'm the greatest star of all.
Goodbye, Norma.
No one ever leaves a star. That's what most one, a star. Joe!
Bye, Norma.
Bye, Joe. Stars are ancient, aren't they?
You came in, the body floating in the pool. It's dawn now. The police must have photographed me 1,000 times. And they got a couple of pruning hooks from the garden, fished me out ever so gently. Funny how gentle people get with you once you're dead. They beached me like a harpooned baby whale. Joint was jumping now. Reporters, doctors, policemen.
You don't deny having killed this man, Miss Desmond?
Did you intend to kill him? Answer me that.
Was it a sudden quarrel?
How come this gun was right there?
This guy, where'd he come from? Who is he?
Did you hate him?
Had he stolen anything?
Captain, the newsreel men are here with the cameras.
Tell him to go fly a kite. There's no time for cameras. Now, Miss Desmond.
What is this, Mark?
The cameras have arrived.
They have. I'll be on the saddest one.
What is it?
Don't you understand?
There was one way to get her downstairs.
Let's have the car right outside. Go ahead, get her downstairs.
Everything will be ready, madame.
Thank you, nice.
This way, madame.
Well, listen, maybe we shouldn't
let up. We got to lose.
Are the lights ready, madame?
They are ready, madame.
They must be quiet.
Quiet. Quiet. Quiet, everybody.
Are you ready, Norma?
Oh, what the scene? Where am I, Ralph? I've forgotten.
This is the staircase of the palace.
Oh, yes.
Down below, we are waiting for the princess.
I'm ready, Max. I'm ready.
All right. Camera. Action. Go ahead, Norma.
Max, it will be my greatest picture. There is nothing else. Just us and the cameras and all those people out there in the dark. All right, Max. I'm ready. Now.
No, they were turning after all. Those cameras. Life, it can be strangely merciful. Taken pity on Norma Desmond. The dream she had clung to so desperately had enfolded her forever. Listening to the NBC Star Playhouse production of Sunset Boulevard, starring Leatrice Joy and Jeffrey Lynn. And now John Chapman returns with a word about next week's production.
Thank you, Miss Joy, Mr. Lynn, and our Star Playhouse Company. Sunset Boulevard was a brilliant movie when Paramount filmed it, and it has become a diverting comedy drama as a radio play. For next week, we plan to shift our microphones to Hollywood with still more comedy drama. This one will be S.N. Behrman's celebrated play about a sophisticated woman, Biography. Our star will be Joan Fontaine. This is Chapman saying goodbye until next week.
Sunset Boulevard was presented with the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, whose latest release is the Technicolor production Red Garters, the exciting new kind of musical starring Rosemary Clooney, Guy Mitchell, and Jack Carson. The radio adaptation was by Ernest Canoy, and heard in the cast were Louis Van Ruten as Max, Terry Keene as Betty Schaefer, Leon Janney as Artie, William Zuckert as the insurance collector, and Ralph Bell as the producer. Others in the cast were Burt Collins, Joseph Julian, and Bill Lipton. This